The five of us settled into a large cab for the 25-minute ride from the hotel to Aunt Gloria's house. My son Hans, my two grandchildren, and I were visiting relatives in Cali, Colombia, with Sandra, my daughter-in-law, a native of the city. Given the success of security measures for city dwellers reported by Cali in-laws, the summer of 2009 seemed right for the moment of reunion that had been on hold. Since my son and his Latina love married in the States already 9 years ago. 25 minutes was the usual drive time from one place to another in this horizontal cityscape of 2 million people. Within view were the clusters of shanty-type dwellings built into the foothills of the Andes. "They look so quaint," I said. My comment didn't deepen the strain in Sandra's expression, but it didn't ease it either. "They're very fragile," she said. "In a heavy storm, they can be flooded or slide into the houses below them." I knew that. Why did I make such a stupid remark? It was nothing but a tourista's take on the poor but happy natives, and a sign to myself that my usual equanimity was a bit AWOL. I sat back and gazed at the cliffs jutting out above the shanties. Grand mansions dotted the bluffs, white sentinels shrouded in green shrubbery. During Sandra's childhood and teenage years, Cali had been gripped by guerrilla warfare between local paramilitary groups. Every family in town experienced some sort of violence. Sandra never spoke about what life was like in those years, and it seemed cruel to probe. The cab entered a neighborhood of attached houses, each two or three stories high, with decorative wrought iron fences across the front. It had the appearance of neighborhoods in New Orleans. But a closer look revealed that the filigreed iron and steel were in fact security fences that wrapped around the front of each dwelling, like landscapes in Italy still dotted with 100-foot-high towers. The refuge from enemies for medieval folks. So, too, this neighborhood resembled clusters of mini fortresses, each house protecting its dwellers from the others. "Let us get on with our Middle Ages," Colombian writer Gabriel Garcia Marquez once commented, resigned to the difficulty of changing the habit of civil war among his countrymen. I puzzled over what could provoke extended controversy among compatriots, feeling certain in 2009 a little that such an atmosphere could not occur in my native land. "We're getting close to Gloria's house," Sandra said. Gloria and her three sisters were close in age to my generation. Sandra, the fourth of seven sisters, had often stayed with these women and their parents as a child. She loved them and had had a special relationship with their mother, whom she always referred to as her grandmother, even though there was no blood connection. Sandra's father had died 15 years ago, and her mother was currently living with one of her oldest daughters in Spain. My son, Hans, spoke up. "Could we go over the names again?" Sandra began. "My four aunts are Esperanza, the oldest, then Gloria, Margarita, and Amanda." "And who else might be there?" he asked. I listened to Sandra's list. "My older sister, Bella, and her son, Nico, and my younger sister, Veronica, and her husband, Hugo, with their children, Jeremy and Isabella. Margaret's daughter, Johanna, and granddaughter, Natalia. Gloria's daughter, Yuli, her husband, Jose, and their son, Michael. Gloria's boyfriend, Hector, he will be there later." "That's enough," Hans said with a smile. "Just to get started." Looking relaxed in a way that I envied him. When he was growing up in the 1960s, we lived in New York's Lower East Side, a neighborhood that included Alphabet City, the destination for many immigrants from Mexico and Central America. The sounds, the smells, the rhythms of the Latin culture provided the backdrop to many of Hans's childhood memories. He loved the sound of Spanish and requested instructional recordings so he could learn common phrases. He practiced and practiced until he got the accent just right. Perhaps he was fated to fall in love with a woman who spoke the language that was music to his ears. When planning our trip to Cali, I'd asked Sandra about the relatives we might meet and wrote the names on a sheet in family groups. Even so, I had trouble keeping everyone straight. Sandra assured me that in any case, she'd just skimmed the surface. In each family, there were additional clusters, a kind of continuously expanding horizontal network, I gathered, of people who felt allied with one another. Her family of aunts represented one group in her life. Her sisters had stayed with other families as kids and now considered them their relatives. Sandra described in detail the particular habits, love stories, betrayals, and minor as well as major tragedies that had befallen each of her aunts. She was a faithful witness to the life stories of people who embraced her as one of them. When we pulled up to Gloria's house, she was standing in the 10-foot-high arch gateway of her security fence. She opened the cab door on my side, and we fell into each other's arms, exclaiming, "Ciao and buenos!" She and Sandra introduced us to everyone assembled, our first chance to put faces to names. While the kids played, the rest of us sat down at a table set with wine, glasses, and plates of snack foods. Gloria was at the head, and I was on her right. She proposed a toast, her words spoken with confidence and sincerity. "How wonderful to have the family in Cali. How wonderful it was for me to visit the United States. How proud I am to have everyone as guests." Our first time all together, we leaned toward one another, lifting our glasses reverently. "Salud!" we chimed in unison. Looking back, I am saddened to the point of despair that while Colombian lawmakers continue to unite and bring peace to their troubled country, the leaders of my homeland are desperate to divide and isolate with the creation of fences, walls, and travel bans, as if tactics resembling those of our medieval forebears can solve multilateral problems among nations. Our proudly bicultural gatherings in Cali or the States are once again at risk, like those of many millions of families across the globe separated by national borders.